All right, Alexander, we need to go into this Woodward article, and not for the reasons that the fake news mainstream media is discussing. The Woodward book, actually, to not the article, the Woodward book. But we're going to look in an article which references that book. And it references some excerpts which I think are more important than the stupid Trump thing that everyone is going crazy about. We won't say the words because that'll mean automatic penalties from YouTube. But whatever the mainstream media is talking about, that stupidity about the Trump quote from Woodward, is not the story here from the book. The real story has to deal with General Mattis. And it references much of what we have been reporting over the past couple of weeks, which is the planned, for lack of a better word, the planned coup, the mail-in ballots, stealing the election in November, and all that stuff that we've documented through the Red Mirage, through the Transition Integrity Project, and those kinds of plans that the Democrats have openly, you know, just laid out for the public to read about. They've just put it out there. They don't even care. And let me take you to an article from Revolver News, and then you can comment on what Revolver News says. And the article says, "Playing with fire. Democrats and their military quislings flirt with borderline seditious military coup." It's a strong title. Let me read you a couple paragraphs and an excerpt, actually, from the book. "As the election approaches, more and more ominous evidence is quickly piling up that the U.S. military's nearly 250-year separation from national politics is eroding. Frightening signs indicate that senior members of the military are open to an anti-Trump coup d'etat. If such a coup happens, Democrats will gleefully cheer it on. Revolver wants to make clear that this article is not based on any inside information. Nobody on the Joint Chiefs of Staff is passing on warnings about what the military is planning. Instead, this article is based on a reading of public statements and events which are already worrisome enough. The first red flag is buried in Bob Woodward's latest book on the Trump administration, Rage. According to the book, former Defense Secretary James Mattis spent much of his tenure in office plotting to undermine the elected leader who appointed him. The book documents private grumblings, periods of exasperation, and wrestling about whether to quit among the so-called adults of the Trump orbit. Mattis, then Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, and then Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. Mattis quietly went to Washington National Cathedral to pray about his concerns for the nation's fate under Trump's command, and according to Woodward, told Coates, quote, there may come a time when we have to take collective action, end quote, since Trump is, quote, dangerous, he's unfit, end quote. Now that excerpt, I'm reading it to you from the Washington Post, which references excerpts from the Woodward book, and this is taken from a Revolver News article. I'll read you some more about the article and Mattis and what he has said, but Alexander, comment on these first paragraphs that I've read to you.
Well, I have to say that I have never imagined in my life that this would actually, I would actually ever be discussing in the real world this kind of event. Now, some of us, some of our viewers may be familiar with a film that came out in the early 60s, 7 Days in May, which was actually made with the assistance of John F. Kennedy when he was president, which talked about a coup in the United States by the military at that time. That was fiction. And I have to say, I always thought, you know, brilliant film and all that, but it is inconceivable that senior military officers in the United States, with its enormously strong constitution, with its enormously strong commitment to democratic government, where people understand very well what the, you know, chain of command is. And remember, the president of the United States is not just the president, he's the commander-in-chief. I mean, the military answers to him. So, I mean, I never imagined that military officers would ever seriously give thought to such possibilities. And here we are. And of course, the authority for it, the authority for what Mattis was apparently talking about, comes from Bob Woodward. Now, Bob Woodward is one of the most establishment media figures in the United States. He was heavily involved, as everybody knows, with Carl Bernstein in the Watergate scandal. He triggered a lot of the stories which eventually led to the investigations which brought down Richard Nixon. That was his famous event. But ever since then, he has been one of the great media insiders, and he regularly produces books based on inside information from all kinds of people within the US government, and they are considered to be pretty authoritative. This one, I have no reason to doubt, is just the same. And that means that Mattis was actually talking. That's the head of the US military, the head of the Department of the Defense, the man who is, you know, in charge of the Pentagon. The man who, the famous, military leader who supposedly had this great outstanding war record, he's actually talking with the Director of National Intelligence, the head of the US intelligence community, and they are talking about collective action against the President of the United States, who Mattis, defense secretary, says is unfit for office. Now, that's not his place to say that. If he believes that, if he thinks that Donald Trump is not the kind of person who is capable of leading the United States, it's not his job to go to cathedrals and pray about it. It's not his, certainly not his job to go to the Director of National Intelligence and plot about it. His job is to resign. Anything else is gross insubordination. It's not, and in this case, it's not just insubordination. It's far worse than that, because what he seems to be talking about here with collective action is straightforwardly an attempt to remove from office the President of the United States, being talked about by the head of the military to the head of the intelligence services. This isn't happening in, you know, Egypt or Turkey or, you know, Afghanistan or Timbuktu. It's happening in the United States of America, the country with the oldest written constitution, the country, you know, where rule of law is supposed to apply. It is staggering, and it gives us some idea of the kind of pressures that Donald Trump has been under ever since he was elected president. From the moment he became president of the United States, the people in the military, people in the security services, people in the State Department, the Democrats and the media refused to recognize his legitimacy. And he has been the subject of never-ending plots to remove him. Those plots are unconstitutional. And now we see that the head of the military was at some level involved. I mean, extraordinary. And every American should be concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to the point we've made over and over again with regards to Russiagate and what the Obama White House did when they targeted Trump is they got rid of Flynn. And then they just started to infiltrate the Trump White House with the neocons and neoliberal psychopaths, from Bolton to Mattis and McMasters and all these guys. And from that point on, they were all just sitting there plotting, how do we get rid of this guy? And the generals and the military, they wanted Trump out because they know that Trump is, deep down inside, Trump is a non-interventionist president. He's a peace through strength president, much like Reagan, but he is non-interventionist. Alexander, I'm going to read you a couple more paragraphs from Revolver News. And this time, we're not referencing the Woodward book, but we're referencing other statements that Mattis has made. This one specifically to The Atlantic magazine. We've covered The Atlantic in previous videos as well. Let's also not forget, Alexander, that we have Nancy Pelosi calling Trump an enemy of the state. We have Joe Biden calling for a military coup against Trump. We have Al Gore calling for a military coup against Trump. And we have Bill Clinton calling for that coup.
And, we have Hillary Clinton telling Biden never to concede.
Exactly.
And that was at the Democratic National, the Democratic Party's convention.
And we have Twitter and Facebook making statements at the highest level, one of them coming from Zuckerberg himself, saying that we will deplatform, demonetize, censor anyone that reports the results on November 3rd. I mean, they're just laying it all out there. Anyway, let me get to the Revolver article. Let me get back there to that article, and then you can comment. The Post glances over this incident. They're referencing the Woodward book excerpt. The Post glances over this incident quickly, treating it as just one more example of a disgruntled senior Trump official. But it is far more than that. This is the top defense official in the United States, himself a former general, discussing collective action against the president with a top intelligence official. Collective action could take many forms, perhaps a concerted effort to invoke the 25th Amendment and have the president declared incapacitated and removed. This would be a coup. And it would be motivated not by Trump's incapacity, which is just a fig leaf, but by political disagreements. Later, when the president had rioters cleared from Lafayette Square after several days of violence and destruction, Mattis suggested the president's decision was illegal. This is from The Atlantic now, Alexander. When I joined the military some 50 years ago, I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Never did I dream that troops taking the same oath would be ordered under any circumstance to violate the constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, much less to provide a bizarre photo op for the elected commander-in-chief with military leadership standing alongside. Going back to the Revolver article, dispersing violent rioters who have already nearly burned down a church is not, quote, violating the constitutional rights of fellow citizens. Make no mistake, Mattis knows exactly what he is suggesting, and this is in bold. When soldiers are given an illegal order, they must refuse. Mattis is laying the groundwork for soldiers and generals to refuse the president's orders. From there, it is a very small step to simply removing the president entirely. And that is bolded out by Revolver News. What do you make of everything I've read, Alexander?
He's absolutely right. Now, can I just take unpack a few things? Because first of all, Mattis talking about, you know, the state of the country and praying about the state of the country, it is he and his actions that are destabilizing the country and are putting it in crisis. The reason that is the case is because he is disregarding the Constitution and the chain of command. Now, can I just say once more, it is not for military officers who are not lawyers, remember, they're not lawyers, to come along and start saying, well, you know, the Constitution allows this or doesn't allow that. The person who is their commander-in-chief is the president. He is the elected president of the United States, elected by the people, according to the Constitution, appointed to that position by the Electoral College, whose decisions are confirmed by Congress. That is what the Constitution says. It is not for James Mattis or any other military officer to start second guessing that process. If the president behaves in an unconstitutional way, if he starts acting in ways that are irregular and inappropriate, there are procedures under the Constitution and the laws of the United States to deal with that situation. There are courts. There is Congress, there is the impeachment process, there are those things. It is not for Mattis to step in and arrogate that role to himself, nor is it for any other military officer. In any country where the military starts saying to themselves, we owe some kind of higher allegiance to a constitution, which we interpret, or to the future of the country as we understand it, or to the interests of the country as we understand it. When that happens in any country, democracy ends, because it is the military at that point who are arrogating those decisions to themselves and who are going against the constitutional system of their country. That, by the way, is what happened in Germany in the 1920s, when certain sections of the military made themselves up into a sort of state within the state and decided which civilian orders they would obey and which not. And we know how that ended. And of course, it happens in various countries around the world, but it has never before happened in the United States. When we talk on these programs, as we often do, that what is at stake in this election in November is the Constitution, is the future of the American Republic. Here you see it. This is the truth. In any republic, in a republic, it is the Constitution that determines who makes the law, how the decisions are made, who is authorized to make those decisions. In any country where it is the military that does that, or people within the military, because, by the way, I want to qualify that by repeating a point that we made elsewhere. I don't believe that the rank and file of the soldiers of the United States would ever go along with these illegal orders that Mattis is making, or, you know, would ever be party to any kind of coup. But in any situation where the military give to themselves the power to decide who rules, the republic ends. That's what happened in ancient Rome, and that is what is being threatened in the United States. And by the way, what Revolver News is talking about there, the soft coup scenario, where the military decides, well, we're not going to obey orders, we're not perhaps going to march into the White House and remove the president by force, we're simply not going to obey what he does. That's exactly what used to happen in Turkey. I can remember it well. We even had a famous incident in the 70s, the so-called coup by memorandum, where the military basically, the general staff of the military issued a memorandum and said that, you know, they no longer had confidence in the elected government, at which point, because the power was with the military, the government fell. Is that the kind of country the United States wants to be, where the president rules at the grace of the military? Or is it a country, a constitutional country, where the president is elected by the people and government is, as Abraham Lincoln once said, government of the people, by the people, for the people, in effect, through their elected constitutional representatives? That is the situation that we are facing. And of course, the crisis in the United States is that these disastrous ideas that Mattis and Coates were floating with each other are still current. We've discussed it in other programs. People are already looking for ways, come the election, to make sure that even if he wins, Donald Trump doesn't win and ceases to be president of the United States. I'm going to just finish with one other thing. We've talked about Mattis a lot about this program. What about Coates? Head of the intelligence services, also appointed by the president, also responsible to the president. What does he do? Does he tell Mattis, James, what you're saying is absolutely crazy. I'm having nothing to do with it. I'm going to report this immediately to the president because that's my job. I serve at his, wish. No, he keeps it all to himself. He and Mattis continue to be friends, apparently. I mean, it was an appalling situation.
They're setting the precedent for very bad things to happen if they were to manage to do this. Number one, obviously, the minute you compromise the military, you can't go on as a country, like you laid it out in the scenario of Turkey. you know, the president automatically becomes the subordinate of the military. But leaving that aside, you have Mattis and Coates. Everything that they have said, you have that now in the mainstream narrative of the DNC and the Democrats. I mean, say this was said, the time frame, I believe the Woodward book was January time frame when he was going through all these interviews. But say this was, I don't know, 6 to 9 months ago.
Yes.
All of these interviews that he was conducting and what these guys were saying, even a year ago. 1 year later, this is now being reiterated
absolutely
at the highest level of the DNC and the Democrats. You even have the Speaker of the House branding the President of the United States an enemy of the state. Her absolutely. Words.
Absolutely. Her words. And all Republicans notice, not just the president. The Republicans are the enemies of the state. Unbelievable talk. And, you know, she is obviously a part of the state. But, you know, is she the entirety of the state? Who is she to talk for the state in this way? Again, it is a gross violation. Not only is it incendiary and completely inappropriate language, but it is contrary to the separation of powers, which is the foundation of the US system of government as laid out in the Constitution. She does not talk for the state. The entire US government, the president and Congress and the judiciary taken together, the Supreme Court of the United States, they taken together too. She does not. What? So who is she to start saying who is an enemy of the state and who is not? I mean, this is, again, the kind of language you get in countries where constitutional systems have completely broken down and which are not democracies.
She's showing her hand. I mean, you know, Pelosi is basically saying when she makes statements like that, she is saying, I am the state.
Yes.
We are the state and we are going to become an even more authoritarian state once we steal the election come November. I mean, that's my point. It's all out there. And Pelosi is just basically telling, once again, the American people, she is saying, when we get power, these people will be deemed an enemy of the state. Where have we heard that in history before? All these people that are against us will be enemies of the state because we are and we will become the state.
Yes.
That's the game plan. And it's and their desperation to me is how do they get the military on board? The rank and file, which I agree with you, they will never go along with this. But that's their desperation. I think they've got everything else tied up. Social media, mainstream media, they've concocted this mail-in ballot thing. They've got all of that stuff tied up. And now they're just scratching their heads saying, how do we get the final piece of the puzzle, which is the military on board?
Well, according to this book of Woodward's, which, as I said, is an authoritative book, I mean, parts of the military are all too willing to be part of this, which is extraordinary when you consider it. I mean, that really is astonishing. That is a terrifying situation. And one of the most worrying things about this is that you have all of these stories and things, I mean, all these discussions going out openly. It's being openly debated and discussed. And it is being normalized. It is being normalized when people talk in this way, when people like Pelosi talks about, you know, enemies of the state, when people like Hillary Clinton say, you must never, ever recognize Trump's win under any circumstances at all, it would seem. Well, you normalize a situation where a coup becomes possible. And it's quite astonishing to see how many people are going along with this in the media, in the judiciary as well. I mean, you know, we've talked about what Judge Sullivan is up to. And I'm going to say something else. I mean, this is the most important thing to understand. This shows, by the way, the profound ignorance and lack of understanding of history of people like Pelosi and Clinton's and all of them. And of course, even, by the way, Zuckerberg and the others. Once you gain power illegitimately, you can't let it go. I mean, that's one of the things you have to understand. You can, as I think it was Bismarck who once said it, you can do many things with bayonets. except sit on them. One of the things that happened in Turkey, as I very well remember, I mean, I can remember it because it happened in my childhood. There was a coup there in the 1960s against the elected prime minister of Turkey, a man called Menderes, somebody, you know, who I would not approve on in any way whatsoever. The military could never afterwards relax their grip on power until it was eventually broken by Erdogan in the events that we remember from 4 years ago. Because if they did, they risked an accounting. And that, of course, creates a degree of tension in any country that is utterly disastrous. Every country that establishes itself as an unconstitutional dictatorship finds itself in that stress. An unconstitutional dictatorship where the government lacks legitimacy because it's come to power in an illegal way is always under threat, is always likely to lash out against its opponents because it the people who make it up are ultimately themselves afraid and insecure. If Nancy Pelosi had any sense about her, she would understand that being Speaker of the House of Representatives is a huge honor, and that she's able to exercise that role in a comfortable way, sure of her, you know, security, is precisely because the Constitution of the United States protects her too. If she rips it up, she is no longer in that situation anymore. But of course, these people don't think like that because they are so obsessed with both Donald Trump and their obsessions with Donald Trump and their ludicrous, paranoid, you know, ideas and ideologies that they have lost touch with fundamental realities.
Yeah, we'll leave it on that note. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, please click on the subscribe button down below. Also, make sure to like, share, and comment on this video. We really enjoy reading your comments. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this small but growing channel. We are working very, very hard to bring you the news every day as best we can. And please go to the Durant Shop and pick up some merchandise. I see that Alexander has a new Durant shirt, and I see that flag is the flag of Australia.
Indeed, a country which, like many British people, I have a great fondness of. You see, I've also got a mug, a magic mug with the Australian flag, and I now have a shirt with the Australian flag, and Alex has the flag of the United States, as, by the way, do I. So we have all of these mugs with all these flags, and we have all these amazing, wonderful, brilliant, astonishing, marvelous Durant shirts, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made with the flags of various countries. And I am wearing one, as you can see, with the flag of Australia, a country very dear to me, as to all British people. And you will find both mugs and shirts in our shop, with lots of flags now of many countries. Before very long, we'll have the flag of every country. Just wait a little. If you don't see it there yet, it will be there very soon. And I understand that Alex is now working on getting flags of American states. So, I mean, there's now one, I think, a mug with the flag of the great state of Texas. So we're going to get more and more flags, both on our shirts and on our mugs. Our mugs are the best in the world, as I've said many times, and our shirts equally so. And you'll find that they come as short-sleeved T-shirts, long-sleeved T-shirts, polo shirts, embroidered shirts. They're all amazing. They're all 100% cotton, and they're fantastic. And by the way, just to remind you, we've also got hoodies as well, which are just equally amazing and fabulous. And we've also got hats. We've got amazing hats. We've got embroidered hats and trucker's hats and baseball caps and amazing hats. So you can find them all in our shop. You can also, by the way, find our expanding gallery of ebooks. In fact, if you haven't been to our shop for a while and you come to it now, you will be astonished of the extraordinary expansion it is going through and the wonderful things that are there. So come to our shop, support the Duran, buy these great things, go through all the amazing things that are there. You're bound to find things that will, you know, absolutely delight and thrill you. And Alex will remind you how to do it.
Just look for a link to the Duran Shop underneath this video, theduranshop.com. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.